Morning, great men and women of God. I'm thankful that you're here with us today on Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the day where Christians commemorate the entrance of Christ into the city of Jerusalem on what would turn out to be the last week of his life here on earth before his death and resurrection. It kicks off what we call Holy Week. And it's interesting when you read the Gospels, that 33 years of Christ's life just seem to fly by, and then all of a sudden when it comes to Holy Week, time begins to slow down because we're on the cusp of something powerful. This morning, I'd like to share with you a little bit about Palm Sunday and also connect that with where we are this Sunday as a church. So once upon a time, there was a king. It's a king who valued humility above many other things. This king could have reigned and ruled, but instead chose to come off of his throne and come down to be among his people. And he walked among his people as one of his people, and he was always calling people out of religion and into real life. This king told the people the truth about what God really thought about them and about who they were created to be. He unveiled a God who wanted more for people than he ever wanted from them. And he invited people to rest and to become great men and women of God. And on the day that we celebrate today, Palm Sunday, he walked into the city. His heart was breaking with every step for the helpless and the harassed, for people who didn't need a ruler, they needed a savior. They needed rescue. As he entered the city that day, it was to cheers and praise. It was to hosannas and hallelujahs. It was to people chanting his name and waving palm branches in honor. 1 week later, he would leave that city to catcalls and curses, dragging the instrument of his own execution with him. And in an act of great and ultimate humility, he gave his life to serve even those who rejected him. And he did this so that people could be rescued from religion and free to journey with God. Now, we have the advantage of time. We're on the other side of history, and so we know that's not the end of the story. He didn't stay dead. He returned. And our hope is pinned to this. And his return began a movement of people who began to believe that what God said about them was more important than what anyone else said. And this is the king. This is our king. This humble servant is captured in our Palm Sunday reading today, which comes out of a letter written to a group of people called the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes and says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen." This is our King. This is the God we sing about. This is the God that we want to have a relationship with. This is a king who offered himself not just for us as a savior, but continues to offer himself to us as a path. You see, as Christ enters the city on Palm Sunday, we aren't just bystanders in the crowd. There's an invitation on this side of history that we're invited to walk along with him. He's the savior, we're not, but we are to follow him and his path. How do you know that? Well, look back to the very beginning of this poem we just read, this truth out of Philippians 2. It says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." It's a little confusing at first because it's a command and a promise. Command, have this mind among yourselves. Promise, you already have it. So we already have something, but we're called to pursue it and chase it. As people who proclaim, "In Christ, I am accepted." That's what we say at Pulpit Rock. "In Christ, I am accepted." We have this mind, it says. It's ours. And at the same time, we are to chase this mind, to follow after. And so we ask the question, what is this mind? It's the mind of a king who is willing to empty himself for our sake And what he's inviting us to do here is that we would live a life willing to empty ourselves for the sake of others as well. And so on Palm Sunday, we wanted to raise up the humble Christ amongst ourselves. Now, at Pulpit Rock Church, this is our church here, we want to see people rescued from religion and from irreligion. Both of these. A religion that says it's what I do that's going to make God pleased with me. It's irreligion that says I don't care what I do. I'll do whatever I want to be pleased with myself. And to both of these are lies that come out of both corners of the enemy's mouth. He just uses both of those all the time. And we want to see people come out of religion and come out of irreligion into gospel. Rescued by the gospel, free to journey with God. That's what we're about. And as I think about us today, I wonder, what begins to happen to a group of people who start to really believe what God says about them? How does it begin to affect the way that we parent? How does it begin to affect our relationships, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, how we approach life as we approach entering the city with the humility of Christ? What does it look like for us to care more about walking with Christ than it does about following systems or rules or methods? And what happens to a group of people who begin to believe that God wants them to rest and wants them to learn how to hear at the front of the cave his whisper? This is Pulpit Rock. We are people who've been rescued to rescue. We have been helped to help, and we are journeying with God so that other people might journey with him as well. Now, I want you to hear something this morning. I am so thankful as your pastor to get to serve with you in this church, to carry on the legacy of this place, which has been around for decades, of allowing God's word to shape souls. This church started with that mission, and hopefully we're being faithful to that today. Now, I used to run track in high school. That was my sport, and one of my areas was the relay. I was a relay man. I love the relay. I love the relay. It had this kind of combination of being a part of a team, yet also running your own race. And I knew how important and crucial it was to take that hand off of the baton in the right way, to get it just the right way, timed rightly. But then when it was my turn, when I had that fully to myself, I wanted to run as hard and as fast as I could. I wanted to improve the position that I was given. Because I knew that some point down the track, I was going to be handing off to someone else. And I wanted to do my part. That analogy for me is how I view us at Pulpit Rock Church. We in this room have been given the baton for our lap in this race. Some of us have been running for a long time. Some of us just got started. But we get one go around this track, and then we're going to hand the baton of this place off to the next generation. There are gospel bearers down the road who are going to be doing what we're doing now. So it's our job to be humble and to run the course God has set for us, to follow this Christ for such a time as this. He's going to lead us in some ways differently than past runners. He's going to lead us differently perhaps than future runners. But for our season, what do we do? My hope is this. I want people 20 years from now looking back and being thankful to God for us and saying, you ran it well. Thank you for the handoff. And I think the most important baton that we hand off is a place where people are rescued from religion and they're helped to journey with God. That's what we want to hand off to people. That we have this place intact that still is doing that. What does it look like for us to carry this baton on a Palm Sunday? How do these two things connect, this thought that we're part of this journey with Christ as well, and yet here it is, 2016. What does it look like? Well, some of you who are back in here in October were with us when our church experienced displacement. Our auditorium in that other building was destroyed by rain, by a roofing accident and rain. We're in the process of replacing the roof. I want you to hear this, that the auditorium was a complete loss, like it was gone. Everything had to be removed, everything had to be stripped to the cement, and the beams were starting from scratch, and it forced us, in a sense, to kind of flee to this building over here. And there were students meeting in here, and it forced them to kind of flee over there, and so everybody's moving around, being displaced. We're meeting in here and trying to figure things out, and this is what I love about Pulpit Rock. I want you to hear this. Instead of that causing some people to leave, or instead of that causing some people to gripe, like, well, I don't like this. I'm just going to go to a church where they don't have flooding. that could have been us. But this group of believers said, no, we're going to choose to let that displacement remind us that there are really people displaced in this world. They are displaced physically and emotionally and spiritually in all kinds of ways. And we were reminded of God's heart. We just allowed a little bit of our displacement to go, oh, this is just a small taste of what many people experience every day. And it ended up that our Christmas offering this last year was the largest in our church's history. And it's because we said we are giving to offer refuge for those who are really displaced around the world. It shouldn't work like that, but it did. I was so proud of that moment because it was truly a moment of having this mind among yourselves, of us being willing to walk into the city and serve. And we're seeing that this destruction of this auditorium over here might actually be a blessing in disguise. Now, what's funny about blessing in disguise is it takes a long time to become a blessing in disguise because they're disguised, right? And so it takes you some time. As we've got in there and started ripping off the walls and all that kind of stuff, we found several things that because our building over there is almost 40 years old, it didn't meet code requirements. One example is we found out that the electrical wiring over there, they're extension cords. That's how it's wired over there. I'm just thinking back that some baton runner back in the past was like, hey, I'll save the church a few bucks. I got an extension cord. I'm not saying it's dangerous, but let's just pause for a minute and say, thank you, Lord, that we are alive. It's stuff like that we're having to work on. And so what an opportunity. We also have an opportunity to better fit, to update that building, to better fit our needs and accurately reflect who we are as a church. Pulpit Rock Church in many ways is the same church. Same heart beats here that's beat here for decades. But in other ways, it's a different build. It's a different place than it was in 1977 when that was built. But there's something I want to ask of you this morning. I'm asking you, people of Pulpit Rock. This is not for you, this is for me. So I'm asking this of you. I don't want us to forget, and I'm giving you this job. Don't let us forget that anytime we start talking about that room over there, that auditorium, I am asking you to remind me of this statement. It's not about a building. It's about a place to help people journey with God. I want you to say that with me. It's not about a building. It's about a place to help people journey with God. I'm being completely serious with this. I want to hear you tell me that over the next few months and years. It'd be so easy to get caught up in the bricks and mortar. And I got to tell you, I get kind of excited looking at these diagrams and plans. And wow, we can do this. This is awesome. I want you to keep reminding us we're not building monuments. We're handing off a baton. We're running with a baton. We're not going to build something to stop and stay. We're not making fancy rooms that wow and dazzle. We're trying to create a place that helps rescue people from religion where they can learn how to journey with God, how they can learn to recognize God's voice. That's what that room is about. And a room, when a church comes together, we do need a place where we can all be together. And it's that space over there where, and we're doing it over here right now, but it's that space over there where we open up our hearts to God and we open up God's word to our hearts. It's out of that space that our church has gone and given and brought and sent. It's out of that space that we've learned and listened and baptized and trained. It's out of that space where adults and kids have come to faith in Christ. It's out of that space that we take the name of Jesus to places like Mexico and Ethiopia and Haiti. It's out of that place that relationships and communities have formed. It's out of that space that we have worshiped. Worship is where we're declaring what we believe is true about us and God. But we're declaring what we need to be true about us and God. We're declaring what we hope is true about us and God. And it's out of that space that we've been able to partner with many ministries around our city and across the world where we can make a difference with God in the lives of the vulnerable, in the local church, and the city, and the next generation. And that's why we're taking this opportunity to renovate that space to better help people journey with God. As we're thinking about redesigning that room, there's some things that have been important to us. I want you to hear those. And one of the things we realize is that everybody worships differently. We don't all worship exactly the same, yet we want to worship together. So we're trying to create a space that's going to allow people to experience one worship, but in some different ways. And so we're putting counter seating, high-top counter seating in the back where people can sit and take notes. We're putting family seating in the balcony for families that want to worship together. One of the things that we're stepping into is realizing we're entering kind of a world where families have unique needs. And sometimes what they need is just a space where they can sit together. We have cry rooms that we're going to, a cry room we're going to build for parents who just are exhausted and want to go cry during the service. That's what they told me it was for. We're going to try to move our screens around to have better, more easily seen visuals and words, not to be dazzly, but just to make sure, hey, we're being clear. This is what's happening. We've also learned some things over here. One of the common refrains I've heard it almost every week over here, is, man, I love being over here. And it took me a month to stop apologizing. You remember every Sunday, I was like, I'm so sorry that we're over here. Please, this isn't our normal space. And everybody's like, stop apologizing. We like being intimate. We like being close. And so we've taken that to design over there. We've lowered the stage. We're bringing all the seats kind of closer. We're going to try to create a more immersive environment. We're looking at bringing the baptistry down from a place on the wall to where maybe it can potentially be right in the middle of the front of the room, where you can actually be around and celebrating and doing stuff like that. It's from the worship and teaching of the word. That's our guide. And when we do that together in a space like that, that sends us out into the city to serve, to partner, to help, to follow Christ as he leads. Now, the construction should begin soon, and we hope it's going to be done this summer. But I'm going to tell you this. We're going to take the time to do it right. That means no more extension cords. So if you have some at home and you were thinking, no. But I hope it's going to be done soon. We're going to be over here a little bit longer. Let me answer this real quick. We're still nailing down the cost. The question is, how much is it going to cost? I don't know yet. A lot. But we don't want to just put all our money into a building. And I want to tell you what we're praying for. Over the last 5 or 6 years, you have been so faithful and generous to give to this church. And the leadership of this church, I think, has been so faithful to be good stewards of that amount that we've actually built back up reserves for what we called a rainy day fund. Yeah. We're not going to name it that ever again. It's going to be pastor retirement fund or something. Yeah. The rainy day fund, and it rained, and so we actually have some of that. We also have money from the insurance company. We also have the excess from our Christmas offering that we said would go to this, and then just some neat things that we'll tell the story someday. It's our prayer, it's our hope and our plan that we're going to fund the entire renovation out of those funds and not have to ask for any money. Now, I want to close with this. One of my greatest joys as a pastor is when I see people hear God's voice and obey. It makes me so happy. You heard his voice and you obeyed. That was Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday. He obeyed God by coming into a city where he knew he would not leave alive. And yet he said, I will go there and I will humble myself and I will serve because I want to rescue people from religion and I want to help them journey with God. So great men and women of God, here's what I want to do with this morning. I want to invite you to conclude our service this morning by taking a field trip. I want to invite you in just a moment. We're going to walk over to the old auditorium. I want you to see the extent of the damage. We've got some artist renderings of what we are doing over there. You can find out some answers to questions that you may be having. We're going to get a chance to pray and dedicate this building process to the Lord. We're going to get a chance to sing in there. It's going to be great, fantastic acoustics in there. I'm telling you right now. So you're going to sing loud. But as we go, I want you to remember the phrase that I'm asking you not to let go of, and it's this. It's not about a building. It's about a place to help people journey with God. As we walk over there, we're walking in humility that we might be in a place that actually achieves that purpose. So let me pray for us, and then I want to give you some instructions, and then we're going to walk over together, okay? Will you pray with me? Christ, thank you for Palm Sunday. Thank you for a day where you walked in knowing exactly what you were going to face, and you did it anyways. I pray that we would have this mind among ourselves, the Palm Sunday mind of Christ, to serve, to give in humility. Lord, we're excited to celebrate and walk over together and see what potential you have for us in our lap around the track. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.